This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In today's program, you can hear our feature, Justice and Peace. First, however, our bulletin of church news, followed by Africa News Panorama. We shall close today's program with Sports Roundup. I am Festus Tarawali. The members of the College of Cardinals held their 12th and final General Congregation on Tuesday morning ahead of the conclave, which begins on Wednesday, the 7th of May. Tuesday's meeting focused on various qualities important for a future pope, including being a shepherd, bridge builder, and promoter of reform. During a briefing with journalists after the meeting, the Holy See Press Office Director Matteo Bruni explained that 173 cardinals, including 130 cardinal electors, participated in the meeting. As always, he noted, the congregation began at 9 a.m. with a moment of prayer. There were 26 interventions addressing a wide range of topics. For instance, discussion focused on the reforms of Pope Francis that need to be carried forward, legislation on abuse, economic issues, the Roman Curia, synodality, work for peace, and care for creation. The theme of communion was emphasized as a calling for the new pope to be a pontifex, a builder of bridges, a shepherd, a master of humanity, and the face of a Samaritan church. In times of war, violence, and deep polarization, it was said there is need for a pope of mercy, synodality, and hope. There was also a discussion on canon law and the power of the Pope, of divisions and the role of cardinals in the Church, of the proximity of the Solemnity of Christ the King and the World Day of the Poor, which should be considered together, and of the need for meetings of the College of Cardinals during consistories. Other topics included Christian initiation and formation as missionary acts, the memory of the witness of martyrs of the faith in areas experienced in conflict and where religious freedom is limited, and the urgent issue of climate change. The date of Easter, the Council of Nicaea, and ecumenical dialogue were also mentioned. The press office director also explained that the ring of the fisherman of the late pope has been made void, and that an appeal was read to the parties involved in various conflicts for a permanent ceasefire and negotiations calling for a just and lasting peace. And as you heard in that briefing by Matteo Bruni, the cardinals gathered in General Congregation on Tuesday invited the faithful to pray for peace in the world. In a statement, they noted with regret that no progress has been made in promoting peace processes in Ukraine, the Middle East, and in many other parts of the world. Joseph Tulloch has this report.
At the General Congregation this morning, the College of Cardinals released a statement noting with regret that no progress has been made in promoting peace processes in Ukraine, the Middle East, and in many other parts of the world. On the contrary, reads the statement, which was released by the Holy See Press Office, attacks, especially those harming civilian populations, have intensified. End of quote. The cardinals therefore made a heartfelt appeal to all parties involved to reach as soon as possible a permanent ceasefire and to negotiate without preconditions and further delays the peace which, the cardinals said, is, quote, so deeply desired by the affected populations and by the entire world, end quote. With this in mind, the cardinals invited the faithful to intensify their supplication to the Lord for a just and lasting peace. The cardinals expressed their concern above all for the Holy Land, where Israel has blockaded all entrances to the Gaza Strip since March. While pummeling the strip with airstrikes, Israel has banned any food, water, shelter or medication from being transported into the Palestinian territory, where the UN says that 90% of the population is reliant on humanitarian aid to survive. Israel says that the blockade aims to pressure Hamas to release the hostages it still holds Now, Gaza is entering its third month without supplies. Thousands of trucks queue along the border of the territory, waiting to be let in. Community kitchens are closing down and bakeries are running out of fuel. Families spend hours waiting in line for small portions of rice, and aid groups report a rise in looting incidents over the last week. At least some have been carried out by armed groups. Meanwhile, Israel is moving forward with plans to seize all of Gaza and to stay in the Palestinian territory for an unspecified amount of time. Israel's offensive has displaced more than 90% of Gaza's population, according to Palestinian health officials, and it has killed more than 52,000 people, many of them women and children. I'm Joseph Tollett.
During the 11th General Congregation on Monday afternoon, the cardinals focused their discussions on migration, synodality and unity. Also on Monday, officials and staff involved in the upcoming conclave took the oath of secrecy, ensuring the integrity of the process to elect the new pope as stipulated by the Apostolic Constitution Universi Dominici Gregis, promulgated by St. Pope John Paul II on the 22nd of February 1996, the oath administered by Cardinal Kevin Joseph Farrell, the Camerlengo of the Holy Roman Church in the Pauline Chapel, was taken by all individuals, both clergy and laity, approved by the Camerlengo and the three cardinal assistants. And from St. Peter's Basilica on Wednesday morning, the Holy Mass for the election of the Roman Pontiff will be presided over by Cardinal Giovanni Battista Re, the Dean of the College of Cardinals. The frequency for our listeners on shortwave radio in Africa is 17540 kHz on the 16-meter band. The commentaries in English will begin at 9:55 local time in Rome or 7:55 GMT. In related news, the commentaries in English for the procession of the cardinals to the Sistine Chapel, where the conclave will take place, will begin at 16:20 local time in Rome or 14:20 GMT on the same shortwave frequency, that is 17540 kHz on the 16-meter band. The Secretary General of the Catholic Secretariat of Nigeria has described the late Pope Francis as a humble servant of the poor who completely chose modesty over grandeur. Reverend Father Michael Banjo said this in his homily during a concelebrated memorial mass in honor of Pope Francis. The mass was held at St. Gabriel's Chaplaincy, located within the Secretariat, an organ of the Conference of Catholic Bishops of Nigeria.
Pope Francis was a shepherd who echoed Christ's boundless compassion for all. He tirelessly preached that everyone without exception is welcome in the church, because the church is not a sanctuary for the perfect, but a refuge for sinners. Pope Francis reminded us that there is no sin so great that God cannot forgive, and no soul so lost that it cannot be found. Pope Francis was a humble servant of the poor who consistently chose modesty over grandeur, who would fail to notice his choice of using a modest Ford Focus instead of opulent limousines, which he could easily afford. He celebrated his birthdays not with dignitaries, but with the homeless and the forgotten, sharing meals with them. He dined in a common cafeteria with Vatican staff, carried his own bag, and deliberately avoided the trappings of power and prestige. In a striking act of selflessness, he authorized the auctioning of extravagant gifts, such as a Harley Davidson motorcycle and a Lamborghini, and directed the proceeds to support migrants, the poor, the homeless, persecuted Christians. If leaders in the church in Nigeria, if leaders in the civil society were to adopt even a measure of his simplicity and preferential love for the poor, we would witness a radical transformation in our country. Bridges will be built instead of walls between the rich and the forgotten. Policies will be shaped not to serve a few, but to uplift the many. Leadership itself would be reclaimed as a noble vocation for common good, not for selfish ends.
Our thanks there to Delphine Asu for that audio clip. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
Africa. African News Panorama.
The African Union Commission and the Intergovernmental Authority on Development issued a statement on Tuesday saying their joint delegation had been visiting South Sudan since Monday to find a peaceful solution to the political and military crisis in which the country is now. The delegation held talks with government officials and international partners. The statement does not mention any meeting with the opposition. The Zimbabwe Nurses Association has criticized the government of Zimbabwe for abandoning the health sector by not paying adequate salaries to health workers and by neglecting health facilities in the country. A statement issued on Monday said nurses are living in abject poverty, unable to afford even the most basic necessities of life. The association called upon government to increase nurses' salaries in accordance with the cost of living and to recruit more staff. Rwanda confirmed on Tuesday that it is in the early stages of discussions with the United States government to accept migrants who are being deported by President Donald Trump. This comes after Secretary of State Marco Rubio issued a statement a few days ago saying the U.S. was actively searching for countries willing to take in some of the most dangerous human beings. Rwanda is not new to such controversial deals. 2 years ago, it signed an agreement with the conservative government in Britain to accept deported migrants. The deal collapsed after the Conservative government lost general elections to the Labour Party last year. Sudan's electricity company said on Tuesday that it was assessing the damage caused by attacks to its power and water supply stations in Port Sudan by rebels of the paramilitary Rapid Support Forces. The rebels have been attacking the infrastructure in the port city using drones since Sunday. You are tuned to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio. And now, our feature, Justice and Peace. As you heard on this program, the United Nations General Assembly held a tribute to the memory of the late Pope Francis on April 29th, in which speakers representing countries from different continents recognized his contribution to humanity. Pope Francis visited the United Nations in New York in September 2015. On 25th of that month, he addressed the General Assembly, calling the world body necessary and one that could be the pledge of a secure and happy future for generations to come. He also pointed out that the United Nations could be improved to serve humanity better. This is how he ended his address.
Be close to one another. Respect one another. Embody yourselves. This organization's ideal of a united human family living in harmony, working not only for peace but in peace, working not only for justice but in a spirit of justice. I bless each one of you from my heart. I will pray for you and your families, and I ask each one of you please to remember to pray for me. And if any of you are not believer, I ask you to wish me well. God bless you all. Thank you.
The late Pope Francis, addressing the United Nations General Assembly on September 25th, 2015. The Vatican was admitted as a non-member state at the United Nations in 1964.
Today, it maintains a permanent observer status. It has a vote in various UN conferences and a right to participate in the General Assembly discussions and consensus agreements. The first Catholic Pope to visit and address the United Nations General Assembly in New York was Pope Paul VI. The visit took place on October 4, 1965, and it coincided with the 20th anniversary of the organization. The second Catholic Pope to visit and address the Assembly was John Paul II on October 2, 1979. He paid another visit on October 5, 1995. The third Pope was Benedict XVI, whose visit took place on April 18, 2008. One of the speakers on April 29th, when the United Nations General Assembly held a tribute to the memory of the late Pope Francis, was Archbishop Gabriel Kacha, the head of the Holy See's Permanent Observer Mission at the United Nations in New York. Archbishop Kacha shared particular moments when Pope Francis showed his appreciation for the United Nations and its importance in the world.
25 September 2015, when Pope Francis addressed a packed General Assembly, his presence was a clear sign of his appreciation for this organization, especially at that moment when the program of work for the next 15 years was adopted. Describing that plan as an important sign of hope, Pope Francis encouraged world leaders to ensure that all can have the minimum spiritual and material means needed to live in dignity. He further called on them to consider the foundation of integral human development, namely the right to life and more generally what we could call the right to existence of human nature itself.
Another important moment when Pope Francis acknowledged the necessity of the United Nations was in December 2019 when he received in the Vatican the Secretary General, Mr. Antonio Guterres.
In an unprecedented way, they delivered a statement together, warning the world that we must not avert our eyes from forms of injustice and inequality, the scandal of world hunger, poverty, children who die because they lack water, food, and necessary care. They recalled the plight of all the displaced and those who leave their countries in search of a better life and yet all too often meet with the tragic fate. They also declared that the arms race and nuclear rearmament cry out to God. They underscored the importance of trust in dialogue between individuals and between nations, in multilateralism for the building of a peaceful world.
Archbishop Kacha told the United Nations diplomats that Pope Francis left behind the image of a leader concerned for the well-being of humanity. This came out clearly during the COVID-19 pandemic.
Pope Francis led the prayer for the whole world on 27 March 2020 during the COVID-19 pandemic. In a dark and deserted St. Peter's Square, the Pope's purpose was to bring before the face of God the pain and anguish of all humanity, praying for divine assistance and bearing witness to the hope that together we might overcome the tragic moment. At that instant, the whole world understood that we are inexorably connected and interdependent. The coronavirus affected rich and poor, developing and developed nations. We all felt equally helpless and yet dependent on each other. We understood that global challenges require equally global responses.
Archbishop Kacha concluded his tribute with the following remarks.
As Pope Francis keenly observed, there are no alternatives but to trust in the best of the human spirit, to persevere in love, to restore dignity to the suffering, and to build a society worthy of the name. In this spirit, he chose as a motto for the Jubilee Year 2025 of the Catholic Church, which coincides with the 80th anniversary of the United Nations organizations, the following: Pilgrims of Hope. The best way we can commemorate Pope Francis today is to take that torch of hope and rediscover the spirit which 80 years ago created the United Nations so that together we can all work to end on a better world to the generations that will come after us.
That was Archbishop Gabriel Kacha, the head of the Holy See's Permanent Observer Mission at the United Nations in New York. And that was Justice and Peace for this week. This has been John Baptist Tumusime.
This is a sports roundup and a welcome to the program. My name is Kenyanta Godfrey Kampamba. It is now over 2 weeks since the death of Pope Francis, and we still have everything fresh in our minds about his funeral and the spectacular procession from the Vatican to the Basilica of St. Mary Major, where he was finally buried. I'm sure we all agree that we have now reached another interesting and exciting moment, not just in the church, but in the entire world. This is because, once again, all eyes are fixed on Rome, and the Vatican in particular, where the conclave to select the successor of Pope Francis begins on Wednesday, 7th May. There is a lot of speculation and talk about who is going to emerge as the new pope, and all sorts of names are popping out from all angles of life. What is even more interesting is bumping on the news that thousands of people, Catholics and non-Catholics alike, have not been stopped from letting their minds wander, and some even placing play baits on who would take the place of Pope Francis. Thousands are already participating in a fantasy-style game centered on the next pope. The game is called Fanta Papa, which lets players create their own virtual conclave inspired by Italy's previous fantasy soccer game, Fanta Calcio. According to Euronews, players select 11 cardinals that they believe are most likely to receive votes. From there, they pick a captain who is supposed to be a cardinal that they think will become the next pope. On the other side, players also choose a goalkeeper or the cardinal they believe has the least chance of being elected. The game even allows players to predict what name the next pope will take. Well, while Fanta Papa offers no real prizes and betting is as easy as placing a few online wagers, the actual papal conclave is far more complex. The process begins 15 to 20 days after Pope's death. Cardinals gather at the Vatican where, guided by the Holy Spirit, they repeatedly cast ballots until one candidate secures a two-thirds majority. If no one is chosen after 3 days, the group pauses voting for prayer and discussion before resuming the next round of voting. And as the adage goes, whatever goes up must always come down. So come Wednesday and the conclave begins, sooner or later we shall have a new pope. Probably one who would love sports like Pope Francis did, and he would be eager to follow on the happenings in the world of sports. Even as the cardinals prepare to enter into the conclave, news from the Gambia says that the home-based Scorpions and Algeria drew goalless in their first leg fixture played at the Independence Stadium on Saturday. Both countries created goal-scoring chances during the match, but squandered them away. Speaking to reporters shortly after the final whistle, Gambian coach Alagi Sarr stated that his team did not train enough, and Algerian coach Majidi Bougueira, for his part, revealed the fact that they knew it was not going to be an easy game, taking into account the condition of the weather and the pitch. In Liberia, meantime, President Joseph Boakai has reiterated his administration's commitment to promoting national unity and youth development through sports, especially football. He made the pledge during a meeting with the leadership of the Liberia Football Association at the country's state house recently. He assured the Liberia Football Association delegation of the government's willingness to collaborate closely with the association in order to elevate the game to international standards. Speaking at the same function, President Boakai, who is Liberia's chief patron of sports, emphasized football's unique role in uniting communities and offering opportunities for young people. Liberia Football Association President Mustafa Braji, who led the delegation, thanked the president for his ongoing support and outlined key programs that include the expansion of youth leagues, improvement of coaching capacity, and the development of international partnerships. The governor of Nigeria's Enugu State, Dr. Peter Mba, on Saturday participated in the first Enugu City International Marathon, completing the 10-kilometer road race in 45 minutes. This was while East African athletes cleared the first, second, and third positions in the elite 42-kilometer full marathon. In the elite men's category, Ken Kopos of Kenya ran the 42 kilometers in 2 hours, 22 minutes and 32 seconds to set the course record, while his compatriots Steve Baswe and Bernard Sang placed second and third respectively. In the female elite category, Shaolin Chepririo of Kenya finished first in 2 hours, 44 minutes and 37 seconds, while Tilahu Biru of Ethiopia was second in 2 hours, 45 minutes and 10 seconds, with Rita Bisienji third in 2 hours, 47 minutes and 17 seconds. And on that note, we come to the end of today's edition of our Sports Roundup. Until next week, at the same time, my name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba.
You have been listening to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio. In our next program, at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our feature, Health and Healing, and our segment dedicated to the Jubilee of Hope. My name is Festus Tarawali, and do join us then. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.